On Radio Row at Super Bowl 58 with Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports. First of all, just being here in Vegas, I mean, you've covered this league a long, long time. Does this still seem strange to you?
I still vividly recall having an email communication with Brian McCarthy, who's now the chief NFL spokesperson, when someone reported on the possibility of an exhibition game being played in Las Vegas 10, 12 years ago. And he scoffed at the idea that the NFL would ever do anything of any kind, in any way, any shape, any form, in Las Vegas. And then we had the Tony Romo Fantasy Football Convention that was going to be held in a hotel owned by a casino but with no gambling anywhere on the premises. And they shut that down by basically, as the allegations were, threatening the NFL media employees who had committed to appear and maybe pointing out to the players' union that this is potentially across the line. And there went the Tony Romo Fantasy Football Convention. It was just 3 years later that the floodgates opened on gambling, and now they loved it they hated it until they loved it, and now they love it and they can't get enough of it, and here we are.
So does there seem to be any hypocrisy there to you?
Oh, it's rampant, and they're having a hard time, I think, tiptoeing through the minefield of do as we say, not as we do, with the players, with the league employees, and the rules don't make any sense. If you're in town and you aren't on one of the teams that's playing, you can gamble. If you're on one of the teams, you can't. Like, it's all, like, nothing required them to embrace gambling. There was a comment the commissioner made before the first regular season game in Kansas City between the Lions and the Chiefs. He was being interviewed by Mike Tirico of NBC. And the commissioner characterized the Supreme Court decision from 2018 as requiring the NFL to be in the gambling space. It didn't require the NFL to do anything. All it did was allow each state to decide whether or not to have legalized sports betting. It didn't require the NFL to do anything. The NFL could have said, we still don't want it. I mean, lots of things are legal that people have nothing to do with. Mustard is legal, and I hate mustard. So the NFL had no compulsion to get involved with gambling. But it decided at some point, and someone made this point to me a few days ago, when you looked at all the losses from COVID, the pandemic year, the money went south, perfect time to put your hand out and take DraftKings money, FanDuel money, BetMGM money. They had 7 exclusive sportsbook partners at one point. Now they're down to 3 exclusive. I don't know if the word exclusive means what they think it means, if they're going to have 3 exclusive sportsbook partners, but they've decided to shake as much money as they can out of the trees. It's money for nothing. But yes, now they have to try to reconcile that with the fact that they don't want their players, their employees involved in any way, shape, or form.
And there are actually slot machines to my left here on Radio Row. How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
NFL-themed slot machines. But if you work for the league, you, like, if you step within 5 feet of it, you will vaporize, I'm told.
Okay. This is a, on a more serious note, this is an uncomfortable question for us in our town to ask, but you cover this league. Patrick Mahomes Sr. got in some trouble over the weekend. His son happens to be a pretty good quarterback for one of the teams in this game this week. Is it fair game to talk to Pat Jr. about Pat Sr.?
You know, I always wrestle with these off-field issues involving non-players, involving family members of the players, more accurately. Went through it recently with Tyreek Hill, and there was a divorce filing that was public record. Well, you know, he injected his marriage into the Hard Knocks series, and so there's a point where case by case, player by player, story by story, you make the decision what's fair game. And I saw the news of the Pat Mahomes DWI arrest, suspicion for DWI more accurately, while we were in Charlotte on our way here. Okay, first inclination is it's irrelevant. It's not the player. It's a family member. It doesn't matter. And then I started thinking about it. Pat Mahomes Sr. is a public figure in his own right, professional baseball player, a name we've been familiar with for a long time. He's present at games. He's visible at games. He's on the field after the games. He's in the box during the games. He's part of the narrative. He's part of the story. And we saw it happen 3 years ago, Thursday night in Kansas City. Britt Reid, assistant coach of the Chiefs at the time, son of head coach Andy Reid, DUI with a horribly serious incident, an injury, 5-year-old girl affected permanently by it. That was fair game, and it also created a distraction that I think was underestimated at the time for the Kansas City Chiefs as they're getting ready to play in the Super Bowl. So I think you put all that together. Would it distract me if I was in my late 20s and my father was facing 2 to 10 years potentially in prison because of his third DWI arrest? It would affect me. So I think it is fair game. Now, I don't know how you artfully pose the question, but I think it is fair game to cover, and I think it's fair to come up with an appropriate way to question Patrick Mahomes about how he's handling it, what kind of a distraction it could be for him, what he's doing. Well, I don't know. I'd have to think about the best way to come up with the question, but I think it's fair game to cover it. And I think that any time we have a tangible example of what can happen to someone when they don't take advantage of all the devices that are available with the press of a button, whether it's Uber, whether it's Lyft, whether it's whatever, whether it's just call somebody with this phone, text somebody with this phone from your family to come get you. As we evolve to a point where it's a push-button society, it becomes more and more inexcusable for anyone to have a DWI.
I said this to you last year. We talked about this very topic. Last year, I said the Eagles were the better team, but I thought Kansas City had the best player. I'm kind of leaning that same way this year. Niners the better team, but Kansas City with the better players. I'm kind of leaning toward the Chiefs right now.
Well, I am as well. And look, the gap isn't as big as it was last year. And you could argue that as of right now, the Chiefs are playing better than the 49ers overall. 49ers may be a better team on paper, but they seemed to peak in December and they started to dip. That Christmas night game against the Ravens, I think, rattled them a little bit, and they've been building back from that. They've shown a lot of grit and resilience coming from behind in both of their playoff games. But the Chiefs, they bottomed out as well on Christmas Day. I think it's fitting that both of these teams had embarrassing home losses on Christmas Day. Then what did they do in the aftermath of it? The 49ers, I feel like, have been treading water. The Chiefs have been ascending, and the Chiefs keep getting better. And Patrick Mahomes is hyper aware of his legacy. He's got to get to 3 before he can get to 4, before he can get to 5, before he can get to 6, before he can get to 7. 7's what he's chasing. This is his chance to get almost halfway to Tom Brady. I don't see him blowing that opportunity. And I feel bad for the 49ers that they are basically the victims in this, but there's going to be somebody. One of the 16 teams in the NFC is going to lose to the Chiefs as Patrick Mahomes keeps racking up win after win after win, but I feel like that's exactly where it's heading.
Cowboys are embarrassed right now. Is that a fair statement to what's going on right now with them?
Well, I continue to struggle with the question of whether or not Jerry Jones, the owner of the team, is truly fixated on winning a Super Bowl with a team that he crafted, or whether it's all just part of the bluster as he serves as the ultimate carnival barker to get people constantly motivated to plunk down their money and their time and their emotion and their being to be fans of the Dallas Cowboys. Because if you really were serious about going all in to win, you would have fired Mike McCarthy and hired Bill Belichick. There's no question about that. But he doesn't want to pay somebody to not work. Or he doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want to do that. He stops short of doing what needs to be done. And I think coming out of that embarrassment against the Green Bay Packers, where they gave up 48 points, and I still don't know why Dan Quinn got hired by the Washington Commanders to be the head coach after that on your resume. That's a hard thing to put on your resume as your closing argument to be a head coach and get somebody to hire you. 48 points given up. First time ever the 2 seed has lost at home to the 7 seed in the wild card round. And yeah, it's only the 4th year, but it's still the first time ever that it's happened that the 2 seed has lost. Embarrassment upon embarrassment. And Jerry seems to be willing to kick the can, to keep it going, and give Mike McCarthy another chance to do what? To do what? To have a great regular season and lose in the playoffs? Because that feels like where it's heading.
So you would have fired McCarthy and hired Belichick?
Yes.
Okay.
I would have. I wouldn't have thought twice about it, because game day coach, game day prep, game day planning, all the things necessary, the strategizing that allows you to separate from the other team. You take that group of players you have, the guy who is the master at doing that, and the reason why the Patriots hesitated, I believe, to fire Bill Belichick because of how good of a coach he is. In taking that 1 week or 2 weeks, as the case may be, whipping up a game plan, implementing that plan, coaching those players up, making the decisions on game day that are critical to managing the clock, understanding situational football, that's where Bill Belichick continues to be a master. He's not a master of personnel acquisition or evaluation or development of young players. It's fine. You know, I use this, the old Bill Parcells line all the time. If they want me to cook the meal, they got to let me shop for the groceries. There is a well-stocked kitchen in Dallas. You don't need to worry about who's shopping for the groceries. You just let Bill Belichick come in and take a Micah Parsons, who's kind of like Lawrence Taylor, right? And Dak Prescott, who's better than any quarterback that's come through there since Tom Brady left New England. You can put together a winner that way, and I'm surprised he didn't do it. And just the mere fact that they had to issue a statement that McCarthy's coming back tells you, number one, that it's kind of dysfunctional in Dallas right now, that you'd have to issue that statement. Number two, they thought about making a change. And number three, that dark cloud is hanging over Mike McCarthy for 2024. And if he doesn't win big this year, he's not going to get a new contract, and they are going to pivot to Bill Belichick. You got three teams in the NFC East that could be pursuing Bill Belichick after this season: the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Giants. All three of those teams are teams to watch for Belichick next year.
Yet the Dallas Cowboys could not stop the run, nor could they really run the football this year. Do you still consider their talent elite?
Well, that becomes a question, too. It's like, hey, we have a great offensive line. So once we have a great offensive line, we will forever have a great offensive line. There's a point where you got to start developing new talent. There's a point where you can't, you know, like, they never should have franchise tagged Tony Pollard. $10 million plus was too much to give up to a guy coming off of a broken ankle. They could have used that money in other ways. They could have reallocated the resources better. And they supposedly are going to do it this year. And I say, good luck. You know, we're going all in this year. Good luck. You got a $59.4 million cap number for Dak Prescott. You got CeeDee Lamb, who has earned a new contract. You got Micah Parsons, who's going to want a new contract. Micah Parsons made the comment last week, we need to go out and get the players to make us better where we need it to be better, because we didn't do that this year. The team has holes. Defensive tackle, there's holes there. The offensive line, these guys aren't going to be here forever. You got to be thinking about allocating resources to get better there. So it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge for this team to be 12-5 again in 2024.
Do they extend Dak? What do you think they do?
Well, they have to. If they don't, they have a $59.4 million cap charge for him this year. He becomes a free agent that they cannot franchise tag. The way the contract's structured, they can't tag him in 2025. He leaves as a free agent unless they sign him to a market deal based upon what else is out there. There'd be a $35 million plus cap charge next year, 2025. So they're looking at over $90 million tied to Dak Prescott. It's going to hit the cap the next 2 years unless they engineer the cap numbers in a way with a new contract that pays him market value. I mean, they have a tough scenario, and it's all because they waited too long to give him his first contract after his rookie deal. After 3 years, they could have paid him. They decided not to. They took advantage of the fourth year of a fourth-round rookie deal. Then they tagged him the first year, and they finally woke up after that first franchise tag. But they were over a barrel by then, and they agreed to a contract that puts him over a barrel now.
Is he worth it? Is he a franchise quarterback?
Well, fortunately for them, he had the kind of season that makes it easier to say yes, he's a franchise quarterback. But is he good enough to take you to a Super Bowl when you consider the other weaknesses the team has? And, you know, if you would swap him out for Patrick Mahomes, would the Cowboys become a Super Bowl contender? A better contender than they are now? I mean, something's missing when it's time to play in the playoffs. And I go back to my question as to whether or not Jerry even cares about that. Is he content to have, you know, the hottest show in town all season long? And if the road ends in the wild card round or the divisional round, so be it. I don't know. I think at times he is content to just do that, to make a lot of money, to be America's team. And it really is amazing to think that the last time they went to the NFC Championship was 1995, and they have managed to be the most popular team in the NFL despite never playing in the game that determines who goes to the Super Bowl since then. That in and of itself is more impressive than winning a Super Bowl. The fact that the team has maintained that status without winning a Super Bowl or even playing for the right to play in the Super Bowl is amazing to me.
Last question. Super Bowl doesn't need any help, but what does Taylor Swift's presence Sunday add for CBS?
Well, there's been some reporting about ad buys by brands that otherwise wouldn't be interested, but they know the demographics of the audience will change. There will be people. I say it all the time. When the numbers come out for how many people watch the Super Bowl, 110 million watch the Super Bowl. It's like, well, how many people are in the country? 370 million. What the hell are the other 260 million doing when the Super Bowl's on, right? So a large chunk a noticeable chunk of that other two, what the hell are these people doing during the Super Bowl, are going to be watching this year because of Taylor Swift. And it just cracks me up how people get so upset that 20 seconds of cutaways are devoted to Taylor Swift. You realize that all you're missing out on is the yahoo who stayed up late and made the sign or put on the weird wig or painted his face. That's who the cutaway would be. Or the crusty old owner, you know, clapping up in the box or trying to do that. Remember, we saw Stephen Ross trying to do the Jalen Waddle dance. Like, that's what we're missing out on instead. So who cares? And if it's good for the sport, if it grows the sport, that's good for the sport too. The whole thing is ridiculous to me, but it's dollars and cents at the end of the day, and CBS is going to make even more money. The numbers are going to be even bigger because Taylor Swift is involved in the NFL.